on the wings of a dove. Amen. Let's just bow our hands if we could, please. Heavenly Father, truly, on the wings of a dove, Lord, you sent forth your love. In just so many ways and so many times, how you demonstrated that. And even this morning, Lord, we're looking and trusting upon that dove. The light in every heart, in every mind, certainly on this person and on these lips, oh God. Lord, we sense your presence, and we're very grateful for that, Father. And Lord, we acknowledge wholly that apart from you, we can do nothing. But through you, Lord, we can do all things. We're so grateful for that, Father. And Lord, we desire very much that you exalt yourself. We desire very much, oh God, that you would exalt your word in our minds and your purpose in our hearts, Father. May it go forth freely, Father. And Lord, we pray that you would just so anoint us for your glory and honor, each one, both the speaker and the hearer. We ask this in the blessed name of Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And thank you, musicians. I appreciate your ministry to us this morning. Praise the Lord. While you are all standing, just turn to Philippians 4:6. Of course, Brother Don and family are having a family time together. Just pray the Lord richly bless them. And thank you for coming this morning. I was expecting it a little more sparse. I thought there'd be all kinds of reasons to not be here this morning. So may God richly bless you all. Amen. That's my earnest prayer. Praise the Lord. Philippians 4:6. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And if you turn over to the right there, Colossians 4:2, one short verse. Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. I like this one here too. It says, continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. I like that. Let's just bow our heads one more time. Lord Jesus, we are so thankful, Father, for your word. Just pray humbly that you would just break to us the bread of life. This we ask in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. God bless you, Brother Josh, Sister Julia. Good to have you with us this morning. Amen. So, no doubt coming up for family time, and it's always a good thing. Amen. Brother Andy, God bless you. Good to see you. God is good. Good to see all of you this morning. Thank you for coming out. I got to do this to see you. These are my computer glasses. But somehow it also helps to direct the light so I can see my Bible better while I'm up here. So, amen, the Lord is good. Amen. And obviously we just had Thanksgiving. And it's really the one holiday in the United States that is such a proper holiday. It's something that every culture, really, they'd have something to give thanks for. And I'd just like to just touch on that a little bit this morning, and I'd kind of like to entitle what I'm going to speak of this morning is the Thanksgiving of the Bride. The Thanksgiving of the Bride. So that's where I'm going. So, first of all, just touching on Thanksgiving. Of course, we all know what that is. Amen. We know what that is, but I just want to just bring this out a little bit, just kind of flesh it out, if you just walk with me here. Thanksgiving is the giving of thanks. It is the attitude of gratitude. Being grateful of having received something. And what's interesting, the more you have need of something that you've received, The greater is our gratitude. The greater we are. We're more thankful. You're more grateful being offered food when you're hungry than when you're full. Isn't that right? And if you're starving, you're really grateful. Amen? Amen. So we're very grateful, you know, especially let's say you have a debt and you couldn't pay it at all and someone came along and they paid your debt. You're profoundly grateful. Now think about the debt of sin that we have before the Lord, that the Lord Jesus Christ paid totally, absolutely, fully, and 100%. Amen. Tremendously, profoundly grateful. Amen. And the grace that He's given to us, by definition, unmerited favor, nothing we ourselves did or could do, in being numbered with the elect of God. That should make us profoundly grateful this morning. Amen. Amen. So the Bible tells us that when we pray, it should always be accompanied with thanksgiving. In fact, unless there's an urgency, it should be the first thing to come out of our mouth, right? Psalm 100 tells us, 4, it says, enter into His gates with thanksgiving. So the very first thing that you come to, you enter it with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. One gives way to the other. And praise in many ways is an extension of thanksgiving, right? For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting. I'm so glad for that. Amen. His mercy is everlasting and His truth endures to all generations. Think about that. That truth is what makes you free. Jesus said, you shall know the truth and the truth shall make you free. Free looses people from bondage. Satan, if he's going to bind you down in one way, it's via a lie. Brother Branham said that the preaching of the gospel scatters devils. Why is that? Is because he shines a light, exposes it, shines forth the truth. The devil is exposed and he's out of there. Amen. So truth. The truth of God endures to all generations. We have so much to be thankful for. Amen. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. So not only in prayer are we to offer up thanks, but in everything that confronts us, whatever is before us, we're supposed to give thanks. Amen. Whether it's the good, whether it's the bad, or whether it's the inconvenient, it doesn't matter. Because our lives are in the hands of God and He is in control of us. Satan can't do one thing to us without Him first getting permission. And if the Lord allows it, He's got a purpose in it. Right. It's not that we thank Him for the bad thing. We thank the Lord for the purpose He has in it, whatever it is. You see the difference. Right. God is over all. Amen? Amen. Amen. So in all things give thanks. Do you know that there is actually a happy feeling that associates thankfulness? Grateful people are happy people. Think about that. If you cultivate your heart to be thankful, to be grateful in everything around you, it's going to change your demeanor. If you're not that way already, right? It'll be palpable. People around you will notice. Amen? 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 It's a giving of thanks that's when we're confronted with the clouds causes us to look for that silver lining. Amen? So when you praise, it's the same thing. It lifts your spirits and it delivers you. It's interesting you're bringing that out. Brother Josh, you must have looked at my notes. Shame on you. No, it's very good. Praise brings God on the scene and scatters the devil. God inhabits the praises of His people. Elijah B. writes this. I just was looking up for some things here and he made some comments I thought were very good. Praise opens the gates of heaven and the doors of blessings. Praise dissipates worry and dilutes concern and fear. Praise tarnishes sadness and magnifies goodness. Praise is the one language of faith. Praise capitalizes on who truly matters. It focuses on the Lord. Praise is the answer. Praise is always the solution. Praise brings us so much closer to God. Praise is the key. We can't walk with God without walking in praise. Think about that. We can't walk in love without walking in praise. We can't experience God without experiencing praise. If you come in contact with God, you can't help but to invoke in us a praise. Amen. Might be fearful, amen, at first, but it will invoke that praise. There's an officer in the military, Merrill Carruthers. He wrote a book, From Prison to Praise. Anybody read that book at all? It's a really thin book, and he made a whole ministry of the power of praise. Just testimony after testimony after testimony of how people, when they just started praising, how the situations that confronted them just fell, how they were delivered from all manners of temptations and things that they were addicted to, and so forth. From Prison to Praise, there's a real power there. There's a real truth there. And it's very interesting how he just developed a ministry around that. So praise is a powerful thing. Praise the Lord. So not only in prayer, but in every situation we find ourselves. Amen. Give praise. He cares for you. And one thing is certain, see, is when you walk with the Lord, you walk by faith. We don't walk by sight. So you think about that in everything we give praise and we trust the Lord and that His hand is upon us. We have no idea sometimes our exact path. I'm talking about individually now. Corporately, we understand. You know, by God's grace, we're going to glory. We're going to heaven. We understand that. But where, between here and that ultimate destination, where is our path going to lead through and to? We don't know. But God does. And that's the thing. And you know, many times the Lord creates circumstances around us. He's done it ever since the beginning of time. He creates circumstances to cause people, you know, like Brother Branham preached a sermon, the eagle stirreth its nest, right? He begins to take out the fur out of the nest. He makes things a little prickly. Why is that? He doesn't want complacency. He doesn't want us necessarily to sit on our laurels. He's got something maybe that He wants us to do, so He makes it uncomfortable. Or He wants us maybe to move. He changes the circumstances. He makes it to where an economics or some situation or persecution rises up and He causes His people to move where He wants them to. Right? See that many times. He called Saul, before he became Paul, as God's predestinated bowling ball, how he went and rolled right through the saints that were in Jerusalem. Why was it? Because they're having a wonderful fellowship right there. He didn't want them staying around in fellowship. He wanted to scatter them. And so they went and they were scattered and they were testifying, amen, of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the kingdom of heaven was furthered. Isn't that a wonderful thing? So we trust in the Lord. Depending on whatever hardship or anything that would come upon us, God has got a purpose in it. Amen? In a lot of ways, God's economy, when He provides something, indicates His will. Right? You've heard the statement before, God's will, done God's way, never lacks His provision. You can often measure the will of God by that provision that is there. Well, this hardship that we're talking about, this is exactly what happened to the pilgrims. Let's get a little background by them. I know you know a lot of stuff, more or less, about the pilgrims. But this is interesting. I really do find this very, very interesting. Now, the pilgrims were the Puritan separatists from England. Puritans were those that wanted to get away from Rome and all its trappings. The Puritans holding to the Bible, having received God's word in their own language, they could read it for themselves, believed that the English Reformation had not gone far enough, and that the Church of England was still tolerating too many practices that were associated with the Church of Rome, such as hierarchical leadership, clerical vestments, infant baptism, and various rituals of the church. Many Puritans advocated separation from all Christian groups, but most were non-separating, desiring to bring cleansing and change to the church from within. So holding a very high view of Scripture and deeming it as the only law of God, Puritans believed that each individual, as well as each congregation, was directly responsible to God, rather than answering through a mediator such as a priest, bishop, etc. Okay, and the separatists, believing the Church of England was beyond redemption, wanted to separate themselves from them so that they could serve the Lord in the way that they believed the Lord wanted them to. Okay, that was the ones that went to America. What happened? The Church of England and the English government joined together in persecuting those that wanted to separate from the Church of England. Separatists were harassed, fined, and imprisoned on various pretexts. The persecution was so severe that they eventually decided to emigrate to the Netherlands in search of religious freedom and relief from persecution. Their voyages, however, were plagued with innumerable difficulties. Since England made it illegal for them to leave the country, they had to sneak out. Some had money and goods treacherously stolen, while others were pursued by troops. In addition to these setbacks, some separatists were betrayed by captains who were supposed to take them overseas. So all these things were happened. You know, sometimes it's really treacherous to serve the Lord. Sometimes, you know, people are just out to get you, right? But in all of that, they trusted the Lord. Amen? So here they were in Holland now. They are free to worship. Was all well there? Now let's read about it. Let's see. It hath disappeared. I'll have to tell you. They found that in Holland, the exiles under pastors John Robinson and William Brewster settled in Leiden. Conditions were harsh and income was scarce. Mortality rate was high. A lot of people were dying. Birth rate, so forth, dying. And the work, grueling. Even the children were made to work. And they were growing old before their time. And they were losing the kids to secular, you know, the secular other children, so forth. So they're very concerned about that. So in desperation, the separatists determined to emigrate to the New World and establish a settlement where they could improve their situation. After many hardships, betrayals, and dangers, a small party of separatists, along with some other migrants, sailed to New England on the Mayflower. The small band of travelers became known as Pilgrims, and William Bradford, helped select Plymouth as a place where they would settle. But you all know, maybe you didn't understand that back part, a little bit of a backdrop. We all know about the hardships that they had even going overseas, how that half of them died before they even made it to America. And not all of them, of course, were pilgrims that were on this. It was a mixed multitude. okay? A mixed multitude went over there to America. And even when they went in and they had to settle, they came at the wrong time because of all the delays that they had. They came at the wrong time. It was winter time. And they had to quickly, you know, set up common houses. And, of course, there was an illness, you know, that went through. And so that the healthy were taking care of the sick, and they were taking turns. And even there, half of them died going through that. So of all those that went over from the Mayflower, only a quarter of them were left of the spring of the year. Even, even the governor, who was their carver, died in April of that year, just shortly after that winter. And so he wasn't even there, even for a full year before he passed away. And then his wife went about 5 or 6 months later. Am I moving around too much? We'll find out here. I can grab the mic too. So anyway, so this is exactly what they were enduring, all right? But in spite of that, God's hand was upon them. And they realized, you know, that even how God had delivered an Indian by the name of Esquantum, which they called him Squanto. He came and he was taken overseas. He was captured. He was sold to Spain, and he fled from Spain. He was able to get over to England, and then from there, he learned English. He learned a lot of things. He learned the English ways. To make a long story short, when he came back to America, he found his whole tribe was wiped out by illness, disease, and but he ended up taking a captain, McDermott, over there to see Sachem Massasoit and be able to discuss trade and so forth and so on. And it was during this time, of course, that the pilgrims came in. And God used that man. God used that man, brought him over the way, brought him through so much, teaching them English, where he could actually communicate to them and show them how to survive. God had a specially prepared vessel when they were ready to show them exactly how to survive in this harsher area. God rich in mercy. Amen? God had a purpose in it, and that's the thing to realize. Though they had hardship, though they suffered many setbacks, God had a purpose. And what was that purpose? The very things that was built in their hearts when they had the Mayflower Compact and all these things that they set forth in setting forth a new government, it had a purpose. And that was to establish a new country. But this country would go forth, and it would go forth, and it would be a light on a hill. As the Gentiles, light on the hill, much like God had wanted Israel to be there, you know, coming forth from Jerusalem. God was going to do this here in America. And from that, many missionaries went forth around the world proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it was a bedding ground, too. From it came forth the message of the hour, which we so appreciate today. The Mayflower Compact that was drafted laid the foundation for the U.S. Constitution. Amen. So, God was in it. And there's no way that the pilgrims could ever envision the decision that they made and the steps that they took would have such far-reaching effects. They were just following the leadership of the Lord. And really, from the options that were available to them, they had little else, you know, for them to choose. God was in it. In spite of all the hardships, in spite of all the things that they had to go through, God's hand was upon them. Amen? Amen. Amen. Brother Branham, talking about birth pains. A lot of times when we you go through some things. We've got to go through a birth pain. Got to go through a lot of struggle. Got to go through problems and troubles. Because the Lord has got something on the other side of that is glorious. Just like a woman going through those travails of birth, on the other side there's a glorious, wonderful, new life right there waiting. And going through all of that, you forget about all of the pain, just like the mother, for the joy of having this new life in her hands, right? God rich in mercy, the Lord's going before us. What a wonderful, glorious thing. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. So the pilgrims, they had to struggle to go through these hardships. God was moving them through these birth pains, through death, deprivation, and struggles to bring out an expected end. And God, going through these birth pains and seeing God's provision, His hand of protection and grace that ultimately brought them to their new home where they could send down roots, grow, be prosperous, be free to worship the Lord their God. And it wasn't just for their benefits. It wasn't just for their benefit that God did this. Amen. He had a wider purpose. Amen. And you can hear it in William Bradford's prayer when they had Thanksgiving that year. He said, "Thus out of small beginnings, greater things have been produced by His hand, who made all things that are. And as one small candle may light thousands, so ye light here kindle has shown to many, yea, in some sort to our whole nation. Let ye glorious name of Jehovah have all ye praise." His purpose was one thing, and that was to glorify God. And the way that the Puritans, I really love this about them, it isn't that you just have religious work and secular work. All of it was an expression of worship to God. Every bit of it. God was in it all. Not just in His Word, but in our day-to-day things. Everything just brought the Lord into it. And they taught their children to understand these things, to bring the Lord in all that they did. And they were the first ones to have public schools, that they would learn to read the Bible, to have the Bible inculcated, taken in, that they could have that as part of their breadth and part of their understanding. And by every subject, every knowledge, everything was springing forth from God's Word. And then they could be assured that their society would thrive because God's blessing would be upon it. Amen. Amen. God rich in mercy. Thanksgiving. They had a time of wonderful, glorious thanksgiving, of praise and honor. Isn't that wonderful? That wonderful, glorious expression. That's something that we want to do too, right? We want to be thankful in everything. Okay? Brother Branham, in his last few years of his life, right around Thanksgiving time, he would hold meetings for Brother Jack in Shreveport, Louisiana, Brother Jack Moore. And he'd always deliver his Thanksgiving messages. The last message that he preached was the Invisible Union of the Bride of Christ, November of 65. There's many striking things Brother Branham had said in this sermon. He says he wants to bring forth a Thanksgiving message, right? The Invisible Union of the Bride of Christ. What? Right? Thanksgiving message. He makes a statement. He says, "Now we're looking forward for the coming of the Lord in our generation. I'm not looking for revival in our generation. I'm looking for the coming of the Lord in our generation." He had that expectancy. So Brother Branham, in type of Moses, took us to the promised land. But like Moses, he didn't cross over himself. He didn't go to the change of the body. Right? He went the way of the grave. Amen? But he believed He was dressing a people that would. Amen? I've got some quotes here, and these are all pulled from this message here. This is 192. He says, what has this got to do with Thanksgiving? What are you talking about, Brother Branham? Here it is. You didn't say nothing about Thanksgiving. What message for the occasion? He says, what a message for the occasion to me. Yes, indeed. The Pilgrim Fathers were very grateful for their newfound way of life, being separated from the old English denominations and creeds. They could marry to the new anointed word for their age. That's right, the new anointed word of their age for their day. And it was. It absolutely was. You know, they were reading right from God's word, separate from all the liturgy and everything and all the trappings of the Catholic Church. They were reading it fresh, and the Spirit of God was moving upon them. We know that the devil, what is he? He's a liar and the father of lies, right? There's so many things that are written now dark about the pilgrims and how straight and formal and couldn't even breathe around them. They're legalistic and so forth. And when the opposite of it is true, they actually had a lot of grace. Their sermons were enlightening. Enlightening. Am I saying that word right? Sounds funny to me. Enlightening. They knew that they were sinners, and it was the grace of Jesus Christ, and that was their only hope anybody had. They had a lot of grace for the penitent sinner. Amen. And there's so many things that if I were to sit up here and read them to you, it would bless you. It would bless you. Why is that? Because it comes right from the Word of God. And it was fresh in their day. It was their walking in the light of their day. And they had the freedom to do so. Isn't that a reason to give thanksgiving? Amen. So can we be thankful as pilgrims like Abraham, separated ourselves from the things of the world? All of our associates, Abraham was a pilgrim. God has separated us from all the dead religions. I'm speaking across the nation now. All the dead creeds, and to what? Separated us and opened to us a new land, a new message for this day. And if we're not careful, dear saints, we can make this be dead. We can make this a dead letter. We can make this ho-hum. We can, if we don't approach it right, it'll be ho-hum. Our eyes will become glazed over. We will not see the truths that are written right here. We have to sharpen ourselves before the Lord. Amen. There's so much to be seen right here in the message, and we see that more and more he's peeling back the onion. He's revealing more of himself to us. And now is the time for the Word of God to be made flesh, to put on flesh, amen, in our very members. He's doing that. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Pentecost dried up and died like Luther, Wesley, and the rest of them. It's no more than a bunch of churches pulled together. Good people in there, yet has got to come out. He says, you know it? They know it. Calling the virtuous bride, the Word, the last day church, the elect lady of our Lord Jesus. Jesus is the Word. Amen. Then the bride is always part of the bridegroom. So the bride will not be a denomination. It'll have to be the Word manifested to be the bride of Christ. He promised to do it. He said how he did. He always did it by the pattern. He'd done it every time by the pattern. He does it again, calling out his virtuous bride in the last day, the lovely Rebecca, waiting for her Isaac. What a beautiful time. That's where we are right now, saints. He's calling out his bride. We're being clothed by the Word of God. Amen. Why? It was put in there by predestination. You were foreordained to be a son of God. You were in God before the foundation of the world. You only manifest it in this day for His honor and the glory. How could you do it without honoring His word and stand with every word? Yes, sir. Which you are a part of that word by predestination. If you don't have a receiver set inside of you, there'll be no attraction whatsoever to this word. But if there is that receiver set inside of you, you'll be drawn to the word. You're predestinated to it. You're ordained to do it. And everything that He said concerning in this word is for you. And you'll manifest that word. Just like He did in every age. You don't have to worry about it. He will manifest it. Why is that? Because God is sovereign. He is over His word. Amen. He is powerful. He put all the stars, everything in place. He'll have a body. Have no fear. He said He would. Amen? Amen? Now we know, I just got to throw this in here, we know that God is not mocked. Right? Whatsoever a man soweth, so shall he reap. We know that that also is true. That also is in there. But He'll use that to correct you. If you're predestinated, it's not based on our works. If you're predestinated, He will correct you. He'll make you so miserable. You got only one place to work, and that is to come back to the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. His word is just as powerful. Amen. How many heard that one thing by Brother F.F. Bosworth? That little testimony is about 19 minutes. Brother Peter put it out. And he said, the word of God, it's wonderful. You should play it. You'd be absolutely blessed. He makes a statement here. He said that God, the word is just effective and effectual for your healing. He says, just as He is over sin to forgive you your sins. Amen. Right? If one is true, the other is true. And it just testified one after another, just going through the scripture that we have unshakable faith in the Word of God, that with that unshakable faith, every promise is available to you. Brother Branham said, the right mental attitude towards every promise of God will bring it to pass in your life. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. The word, the part that you're to play, was in God before the foundation of the world. He's seen you. He knew you. He predestinated you to it. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. And a man that's born of God, a son of God, has to have the nature of God. He has to be like God. He honors God. He is part of the Word of God. And in this last days of this bride taking form, just exactly the same power that He was at the beginning has come up through these organizations and so forth, come out for the bride. He can't be nothing else but that. Amen. Paragraph 263. You are standing completely justified as though you never did it at the beginning. This is my message to the church now. You are standing, if you're standing on God's word, and with God's word, every amen, every jot, every tittle, where are you standing? I'm trying to tell you, pull away from them shucks. Get out here in the wheat where you can get right before the sun. I hear the coming of the combine. You're completely complete, justified, like you never did it in the first place. See, that's the part you have to see. The full, pure, virtuous understanding of justification. It's just as if you never did it in the first place. Brother Branham used this illustration, of course. He says, let's say you heard me did something. Okay? And then you'd say, you forgive me for it. He says, that's wonderful. Okay, I'm forgiven. He says, but in that, if I did it, I'm not justified. But then if I'm justified, and you say, Brother Branham, I forgive you. He says, forgive me? Forgive me for what? I never did it. See? And it's that understanding, is that when we come, sure we come. We come, we acknowledge our sins. And the Lord forgives us. But then with that, He takes that and He throws it into a sea of forgetfulness, and it's done, it's finished. And it's just as if we never did it. That's what justified means, quite literally, just as if. Just if we never did it. Justified. Okay? Amen. Amen. Talk about a Thanksgiving. I feel real good. I'm more thankful for that than anything I know of. Amen? You are a pure, virtuous, sinless bride of the Son of the living God. Every man and woman that's born of the Spirit of God and washed in the blood of Jesus Christ and believes every word of God stands as though you never sinned at the first place. You are perfect. The blood of Jesus, the blood of Jesus Christ. Are you convinced of the efficacy of the blood of Jesus Christ? It is a bleach like none other. It just obliterates it and it sends it back on the greasy hands of the one who put it there, the devil. It's not ascribed to you whatsoever. Aren't you glad for that? Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And Jesus, the Word, took my place. He became me that I might become Him, the Word. Amen. Let me hold true to it, not the church. The Word. Amen. How many times you heard Brother Branham says, not the church. Not the church. Don't trust in the church. Trust in Branham Tabernacle? He says it's as worst as any of them. Right? There's only one place that we go to worship, and that is the Word of God. Amen? Oh, that spiritual union of Christ and His church now when the flesh is becoming Word and the Word is becoming flesh. That's where we are right now, saints. That is what we're entering in. That's the phase that we're in right now. Amen. Manifested, vindicated, and what the bride said would happen in this day is happening day by day. And he goes on and on with the same thought. This is the invisible union of the bride of Christ. There's so many, many good things right there. You get the picture. What a Thanksgiving. Amen? What a Thanksgiving. This has got to be such a part of our thinking. Remember Brother Don, how he wrote that? You know, small circle, larger circle. And we have to be thinking from that inner being right here, from the innermost man, or the inside of the inside. That's where we need to be thinking and have all these truths that are there. That's our understanding. And everything else is a lie. Everything else is a lie outside of that. That is our transformation. The power of transformation is by the Word of God, saints. We're right there. What a Thanksgiving. What a Thanksgiving. Amen. Hallelujah. You're not only that, but you're going to the wedding in the sky. And you are wearing the wedding band of predestinated, unmerited grace. A wedding band of grace unmerited of your own. Unmerited of your own. You get that? Amen? God did it Himself. He knew you before the foundation of the world. So He slipped the wedding band on you. Put your name on a book. What a Thanksgiving. Hallelujah. Praise our God. Can you imagine the Thanksgiving we're going to have when we get over to the other side, saints? That's a Thanksgiving. Amen. By God's grace, I trust we all have our tickets stamped ready. It's going to be a glorious, glorious, glorious thing. That's it. That is absolutely it. We're in the last days, church. That's my Thanksgiving message to you. And mine to you. And the Lord's to us. I believe that this morning. Amen. Let's bow our heads if we would. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank You. Indeed, this is a great Thanksgiving. To think of all the hardships that You put those pilgrims through. To get them in a place where they could be, where You could bless them, where You could establish them, where You could inculcate those truths in their hearts, and they could have roots that went down and shoots that went upward. Lord, we don't know what it is, Father, that we're going to have to go through to shack off everything that is hindering us. As the Bible says, everything that can be shaken will be shaken, where only that which cannot be shaken should remain. Lord, I pray that you help everyone lay every sin aside, the weight that does so easily beset us, and run with patience the race that is set before us. Looking unto Jesus, that's our focal point, the author and the finisher of our faith. Help us, Father, that way. Grant it, Lord. Grant it, Father. We ask this in the blessed name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Musicians, if you could come. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
The Lord is good. So much to be really thankful for. I know the Lord has brought us through so much this week. It's been an unbelievable week. I didn't know you could crowd so much in 7 days. I wasn't sure. Especially my dear wife here. I just got there. She's amazing. Absolutely amazing. Of course, you know we lost my brother John. Usually sits right back there. Faithfully. Every Sunday, every time we're here, he's right there. For the most part, almost without missing. And he's in glory tonight in a perfect body. We give the Lord thanksgiving. Amen. Let's just give him a clap offering. Can we? Lord, hallelujah. Amen. Oh, God. Oh, God. Amen. Amen for those. I'm sure everybody knows, seen my brother John, but he's mentally retarded. For those that are online, maybe might see this and don't know me from Adam, and that's okay. The important thing is you know him, the giver of life, Jesus Christ. My brother John, he was mentally retarded. Amen. But the thing that he looked forward to was coming to church and meeting with you all. Meeting and hearing the Lord. He'd love to sit back there. He'd sit and you'd see him, you know, just do one of these numbers every now and then, you know, praising the Lord. And he had that in his heart. He'd come to me, he'd call me up. He says, Greg, we're going to go to church. I says, yes, John, we're going to pick you up. We're going to go to church, you know. And so I my biggest question I have right now, Lord, what does he look like? I wonder, what is he? Because the sin that had deformed him, and what God had not intended for him, but allowed. See, catch that in mind. What God had not intended for him, but allowed. He was there, but now he's in the form that God did intend for him. Oh, I want to see what he looks like. I want to be able to talk to him. Amen. I walked with him one time. We were tenting. And you can say, give thanks. I think we're going to sing that song. You can play itself if you want. I was walking with him in arm. We were tent. We were walking across the field. And I said, John, I said, one of these days, you and I are going to walk on the streets of gold together. You're not going to be in the body that you're in right now. But I'm not going to be in the body I'm in either. We're going to be in our glorified bodies. It's going to be wonderful. Absolutely wonderful, John. I'm looking forward to that day. It's going to be a reality. It's going to happen. Amen. I'm so thankful to the Lord for that. Praise the Lord. Give thanks. Which one is that now? Well, we know it anyway. Testimony you gave. Would you mind closing? Would you come up here if you would, please, Brother Josh?
Bow our heads. Lord God, we're so thankful. Lord, for your spirit here, Lord.
Yes, okay.
Feel your presence here, Lord.
Yes.
All that you've done for us, Lord,
yes.
To restore us to where you saw us, Lord,
yes.
Before we were ever here.
Yes.
Lord, I just pray that you'll lead and direct each one, Lord, that you'd
Amen.
Build each one's faith, Lord, to believe the promises of what you said we are and who we are,
yes.
That we would be the light shining out among the people we walk amongst.
Yes, I do.
Lord, just so thankful for everything that you've granted to us, Lord.
Amen. Yes.
Lord, we are a blessed people, and we're so
yes.
thankful for that.
Yes.
Just pray that you'll be with each one, Lord, as we depart. We ask this now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Josh. We'll just sing it. Oh, God bless you. Thank you. Thank you, Josh. Yeah.